Okay. All right.
I mean, this is exactly what you want to see, right?
Tyler Adams celebrating the Knicks. Alexis already wearing the hat.
Come on, son. And I got a couple bootleg shirts. I might go buy a legit one. This is what it means. And also, it just goes to show you, sometimes you got to visualize yourself winning before you can win. You know what I mean? They say one of the best things you could do is hear the swish in your head before you shoot. Is that it propels you, right? You're manifesting it.
Right.
Watching Jalen Brunson celebrate a Knicks victory, the first Knicks chip in 53 years, that tells Tyler Adams, I need to be that guy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I need to go out there and do exactly what he just did. And maybe the U.S. Men's National wins the World Cup. Just maybe. I'm not saying they're going to. Just saying maybe.
I mean, but it is written.
How many of you believe in the Knicks? You know what I'm saying?
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We out here in the big city, New York City, in Yahoo Studios. We're absolutely...
Oh, that's real.
That's real. There ain't no green screen.
Nah, dog. Somebody might come out on that balcony at any point.
That's somebody's home.
100%.
They're paying lots of rent for.
We're in the penthouse of the CB2 department store.
But it is, we're going into the second.
It's actually Christian's apartment. People don't know that. Christian has a lot of books.
I'm very.
Right? This is how he does a book house.
Okay.
And Mateo's not allowed in this room.
Exactly. I made all my money bartering books. We are excited. This is the second week of the World Cup. We are daily, Monday through Friday. Shout out to everybody who has joined us so far, whether it's weekday or our reaction shows over the weekend. We've been having an absolute blast. We're back from Los Angeles, back home in New York City, and picking up all the turned over cars from the Knicks celebration.
Yeah. I really should have parked my car in Midtown before the fifth game.
No, but
they could have flipped it over. I got myself a little insurance.
We talked
money.
About this in the past.
It should have done
it. Was a whole strategy. It's all good though.
I should have followed through.
But let's start today covering this World Cup. It is time for our six pack of reactions presented by Smirnoff Ice, the official ice cold beverage that should absolutely be in your fridge for every match this summer. Smirnoff Ice, too crisp to resist. Okay, I'm going to start today with my first reaction, and that's USMNT related. The one and only, I'm going to start with Tim Ream, captain of the U.S. men's national team, had a spectacular game. We all doubted you, right? We meaning Alexis Guerrero.
Yeah, okay? Also spectacular. Okay, I mean, it was really good.
He was good. Look, had the most, looking at his stats, he had the most touches in the match with 102, 93% pass percentage. My man was two touches in the opposition box, one successful dribble, but more than anything, brought a level of calmness and peace. There was no moment outside of the one little slip, because that's That was the field. That was the pitch.
Homie was twerking.
Okay.
But it wasn't his fault.
Outside of that, there was really not a poor, there was not one mistake from Tim Ream. I mean, this is a, I mean, look, they did concede one goal. Not shocking by any standards for the USMNT, but man, just a calming presence, getting out of difficult situations. Even in the second half when Paraguay was putting on a little bit of pressure, Tim Ream brought a little bit of calmness to that team. And you got to just give him credit, because everybody, they talk about his age and all this criticism. He went to MLS, blah, blah, blah. My man is still balling.
Yeah, look, I mean, his lack of pace could potentially be...
Coulda, shoulda, whatever.
By a better team than Paraguay could take advantage of that.
Sure.
So I'm not going to sit here and say I was wrong. I'm just saying this is why you're on the team, was exactly for all the things you said. He's a field general. So congrats to him. I'm going to go with a USMNT one as well. And not only was Poch correct, but so was I, that friendlies, well, they're for testing, my friend.
Okay.
Okay. We have now proven it. It is 100% fact, and we cannot go back on it ever again.
Wow. There's enough data, the science.
We've seen it all. One game. But Pochettino, I think, proved to you that, you know, if you only have, even with a, sort of a never-ending amount of time, but again, he had a limited amount of time with this team, you've got to try things in matches that don't matter so you know what to do in matches that do.
Yeah.
And this proved it. The way they're sort of able to be asymmetric and bring their, you know, have their wingers bomb forward, stay in a back three, they're going to be able to counter press and get shots on target without the other team being set up across the board. And there's going to be better teams that are not going to allow it. But Paraguay, Paraguay beat Argentina 2-1, and that's with the Argentina that's starting in this World Cup. That was with Messi. That was with Emi Martinez. That was with everybody else, and they beat them 2-1. They showed what a little bit of just a little bit of additional tactical nuance, whatever, however you pronounce that.
It's a new, it's yeah, a different yeah. French word.
It's that French, maybe. French-ish. But it just goes to show what just a little bit of additional tactics can do. And that, to me, just says, man, this team is going to look good. They're going to get a lot of opportunities on goal. And that's because they tested things out. They saw what players would fit in the system and what wouldn't. They got all that out of the system. It's a lot like going to, you know, bring your lady to a hotel. You know what I mean? You try stuff you've never tried before. Right?
There, saying, right?
These are my towels.
I don't know if this is a universal sort of system. Or
how do you not know that? What?
I'm not familiar. I don't know. I don't know. Buddy. I hear to criticize or judge.
Yeah, Christian's not going to yuck your yum, but he just doesn't understand your yum is what I'm learning.
Okay, somebody explain the birds and the bees to me. I'm still trying to figure it out.
He's like, he's turning it up there.
Is that one of those 3D images? Oh, I see it there.
I see it now. Okay. I need a shower.
Okay.
Can I get new towels?
Next up, for me, I'm going to give a shout out to the mayor of New York City. The one and only Zora Mamdani had the first outing in the Brazil-Morocco game for
$1,050 tickets.
Exactly. The contest winners. I was watching them there. It's just a really just fun moment. It's just like he was at the Puerto Rican Day Parade. He's doing watch party for the Knicks, celebrating. Didn't get home till like 4 a.m. My man is... We never had a mayor this outside.
He's
bro.
So outside. What I love about
it. But he's like wholesome outside. Yeah, not Eric smiling. Adams outside.
Yeah, Eric Adams
was, was too outside.
He was almost too. He was way too outside. He was so outside, he's in Albania. But this guy goes to show just what happens when, like you do things for the people. And right. Look what happened. 1,000 New Yorkers got to go to the World Cup for just $50.
Sure. Yeah. This was the first of 1,000. Yeah, not the whole 1,000 were at that one game. They're going out through, going to several of them. But just a great time for the city, and the fact that the mayor is, definitely like the mayor is obviously the top person, the ambassador of New York City, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But he is living it day in and day out, using sports as a way to unite people, and it's just an awesome thing.
She sat on a plane next to a lady who hates the big guy in D.C.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, yeah. I was like, I was surprised. You're from Long Island. I'm surprised. I'm like, yeah, when he came to the Knicks game, it didn't help. But hey, I go, Mamdani kind of cleared it. She goes, I don't like him either. I'm like, who do you?
Okay. I really don't know where you stand.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you, a Cuomo lady?
You might be the only one. You're like a libertarian Nets fan?
I was so confused.
What's going on?
I was like, ABA? Who are you rooting for? All right, here's my next topic. This is my next one, is Scotland. They're more than just great fans, but they are great fans. I don't know if you saw, they were at the Red Sox game. Doing chants.
Yeah, that was so awesome. Yeah.
Great. So shouts to Scotland fans. I wish I could party with you guys every time you come to the U.S. You guys do it upright. But they won their first game. And that, to me, goes to show that Scotland is on the way up. I've been talking a lot more about how I wish the premiership. First of all, this kid is fire. Adidas.
Yeah, I've been seeing it everywhere. People in the city wearing it all day. Yeah, it's been awesome.
It's absolutely incredible. Great colors as well. Just the whole fit is fire. But the Scottish premiership needs a little bit of a bump up. I think the fans could make Americans who don't know anything about soccer want to root for Scotland. I think it can make them become bigger fans of Scotland. And maybe they go out and become Celtic or Rangers fans, or, Dundee or Hearts, who were so close to winning it.
There's more than just those two, right?
Yeah, but don't you feel that momentum? The Hearts story almost getting there. It feels a little bit like a Wrexham without the TV show. It feels like there's momentum for Scotland. And I love this. And I'm happy to have you guys back in the World Cup.
Love to see it. Okay. I'm going to go with my third one. I don't even know how to exactly the sensor in the ball in the game, Sweden against Tunisia. Shout out to the sensor for correctly.
I'm big fans of the set. Put a photo of the sensor itself.
Shout out to technology, because this was a goal that was deemed offside.
I couldn't tell from the eye that Isak touched it.
Exactly. But you see the thing on the screen right there? Mm. That little blip.
You know what? The ball is sensitive. It understands when it's being touched. Like when you take a lady to a hotel.
It all goes back to.
You're familiar with this, Christian.
I am not, but we're going to need the technology to. Inform me.
Oh, buddy. Can we put a sensor in the bed?
So, but this moment, I think the yellow being overturned from Tim Ream and going to Miguel Almirón
for mistaken identity for the dive.
And this, I mean, this is, you know, this technology used probably, this could have, this was a fantastic goal by Sweden that could have been taken away if we didn't have this technology. Isak got a touch on the ball. We saw a little the earthquake little sensor thing. We see it there.
3.1 in the Richter.
Okay. And that little nick on the ball is what reset the play so that it wasn't offside.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that, the referees have the technology in place to make the right calls.
They get rid of the referees, more technology. That's been my call from day one. And I'm starting to get you on board.
It's this whole thing.
I'm starting to get you on board, but Roomba with an iPad.
Okay.
That's my thing. This is going to be my last one. It's also USMNT related.
Okay.
Gio Reyna. He's going to get a big move for the world after this World Cup.
Interesting.
So it's a bit of a hot take more than just a reaction. But I truly believe, first of all, that Travello was great. But if you watch the minutes he played, he was incisive, he was direct, he knew how to float into the right spaces, and when he got an opportunity, he took it. If he can keep this going, maybe it doesn't come immediately after this World Cup, but because of this World Cup, and as long as he can prove it in his club form, he will be getting a big move. Now, that big move, to me, is La Liga or to a bigger club in Bundesliga, something like that. Maybe even a legal.
Serie A also has some interest.
That's right, Serie A, I would love that. I just don't want him to jump to the Premier League. I think it's a very physical league. One of our friends, shout out to Jamie, our former editor, huge West Ham fan. He was like, "Dude, I'd take him at West Ham." I'm like, he's not going to the championship. Right. It's very physical and it's three matches a week. But look at this guy. I think he has everything it takes to go to a place like La Liga or Serie A where you could be a little techie on the ball and he's going to shine.
I agree. I mean, I guess even you mentioning that makes me think like, we saw it. I mean, it's not the same level as the James Rodriguez goal in 2014.
It's in the same chapter.
You're starting to like pique my interest a little bit. And James was at Porto or Benfica. When he scored that goal, I think he was in Portugal. I think it was Benfica. But he scores that goal and boom, literally like the ball hadn't even fully like stopped moving in the net before Florentino Perez was like,
"Hello,
estoy interesado."
Eres un Real Madrid player.
So that was that spectacular of a goal. I mean, you it's not every day you see Travellas at the World Cup. And when you do see them, obviously, they make news. So. Yeah.
And shouts to Herc Gomez, who said, players don't score two goals in a World Cup. Landon Donovan never did it. Clint Dempsey never did it. So Falaron Balogun would have been another reaction of mine. I think he's also going to get a big move. But right now, I want to talk about Gio Reyna. Gio Reyna, I think, has that little bit of magic that I really believe he would have.
And also, congratulations to him. We'll be welcoming a baby. Gio Reyna, the celebration. You must have missed the celebration.
I did.
Yeah. We were at a watch party going crazy.
Yeah.
But he put the ball under his shirt.
Look at that.
And so...
His lady to a hotel.
Okay.
Comes back.
You see, this show is actually much more educational than people may think.
Oh, you think it's just riffing? No, we brought it back. I mean,
so, but congratulations to Gio and his wife and welcome. I mean, what a way to announce it, right?
Imagine that
kind of a goal.
Hey, sorry, I didn't text you. I was busy scoring a goal in the World Cup.
Fantastic stuff. And look, I think we talked about in the reaction show yesterday, we talked about like looking forward to this game against Australia and then both teams, I mean, unexpected result.
Yeah.
But I think the confidence is quite high seeing as how Gio Reyna played, how just that the midfield, again, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, just like, again, there were very, very few mistakes. And more than anything, there was such an expressive type of football that we're just not used to seeing the U.S. men's national team play. And whether that is just simply the tactics and the decision to have Serginho Dest. Also, shout out to a lot of people in the comments that were like, "You didn't talk about Serginho Dest enough." I'm like, that is true.
He was also
fantastic.
The way he sort of slides back when Antony goes up, and they're looking at each other. They're really sort of figuring out how to play in that sort of asymmetric system. Absolutely amazing. And I maybe there's a part of me that believes Pochettino, if they go far, he'll stay.
wow. He's like, Dad, you're not going to leave, right?
Yeah. You think I've ever said that?
All right. We'll be back.
I don't have a dad, by the way.
Yeah, that'll be a running theme.
All right. You guys will get comfortable. Put it in the comments. Put the L's in the comments for my dad leaving.
We'll be back with more after this.
Yeesh, look at this. We're back. Thank you for joining us back on the Cooligans. Tunisia fires manager Sabri Lamouchi one day after a 5-1 defeat to Sweden in the World Cup group stage. Romain Molina. By the way, good news is you're in America. We have unemployment here. So I don't know what you got in Tunisia, but buddy.
You know what? I'm sure it's better in Tunisia. I don't
know. You might be right. Buddy, sign up here while you're here.
I was surprised. I mean, we watched the game. It ended like around a little bit after midnight last night. Yeah, on the
this
East.
This was an embarrassing loss.
It was an embarrassing loss. Is it fireable? I mean... Oh. I don't know. I'm not following the Tunisia team super closely. I don't know exactly what the expectations are. A 5-1 loss to Sweden. My guess is that Sweden is a bit of a better team.
A bit. They are a much better team.
I don't know.
How about this? The first goal Sweden scored by a Tunisian guy. They got a Tunisian on their team who could have played for Tunisia. This was a abysmal match for Tunisia. Now, look, Tunisia's had an up and down last few World Cups that I've seen them in. They always have a lot of skill in the midfield. I see glimpses of man, there's some real ballers here. Like, I love the way they want to move the ball up and down. But this was a rough match to watch. You could tell the team was upset. You could tell the players were frustrated with the way it was going. So I knew a hammer would fall at some point, but immediately off the rip is kind of crazy.
Yeah. It clearly shows the demand that the team has, that the federation has. It's not that common, right? In the first game, they just like, it could send the team into like a bit of disarray. No, I mean, it seems like
unless they were already in that. Like, if he's kind of lost the locker room, then this makes a lot of sense. And I'm assuming there was something beforehand. It wasn't like, dude, you're great. Best of luck out there. Oh my God, 5-1, you got.
We have so much faith in you. Oh no, yeah. I've completely changed my mind.
We named a road after you. So get out there and make us
proud. But I mean, Sweden were remarkable.
They're also wildly talented. I mean, they're talented across the board. So I'm assuming for Isak to look like he's back in form.
Yeah.
You know, they got to be doing pretty good. So I'm pretty confident that this was a Sweden not even getting out of second gear.
Yeah. You mentioned, well, I forgot his name. You said the Tunisian kid from Sweden that scored the two goals.
I believe his name is.
The two goals that he did score were just completely just beautiful. Two just absolute belters.
He would still have a job if he picked Tunisia over Sweden.
Surprising for realistically, almost any team in the World Cup, a 48-team World Cup, you fire the coach, you don't think you could be one of the best third-place teams? Like, you're already out? You're just no faith? I think it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and we're seeing photos of Sabri Lamouchi. I mean, you know, I've never heard of him before this, and I was like, hey, what else are you going to do? It's Sweden. What are you going to do? Like, are you going to fire the Curaçao coach because they lost to Germany?
Right, right.
I mean, Sweden is a lot of people's dark horses. A lot of people think they're already a contender. They're not even a dark horse. So Tunisia is probably not on anyone's list even as a dark horse. So I kind of thought this was pretty par for the course. You know what I mean? I wasn't shocked to the point. There had to be something behind it.
Yeah. I mean, we'll probably talk about more when we hear more. Given that, 8 out of 12 of the third place teams move on to the knockout rounds. I mean, you really got it.
You got a shot, then Curaçao, you don't.
The leash is wildly short
in a
World Cup where the leash is quite long.
Yeah, where you got a lot to go with.
To make a few errors.
I wonder who comes in next. I wonder if it's someone for like an assistant already with the team that maybe the team kind of gels around. But no gelling needed in Sweden. They are wild. They're all cylinders banging.
I don't know. I mean, with a lot of these first games, is Sweden very good versus Tunisia being bad? Is it same thing? I think it's fair to, is the U.S. really good versus Paraguay just having a bad game or whatever? Like, you can, is Curaçao really that bad?
You hated the players on the U.S. men's national team.
I'm just being devil's advocate.
Okay, all right.
So,
all right, I'm going to let you do it, but just remember, put a line right down the middle. handle this this shock.
I'm just saying,
in UGA,
I thought some of the goals, Sweden scored some fantastic goals, but yeah, there were some just poor marking, poor defending from Tunisia.
When they get to the group stages, Sweden's not going to be doing 5-1s. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But the fact that Gyökeres seems like he's ready to go.
The tenacity was there, especially from Gyökeres. He really, really wanted a goal, you could tell.
Also, what he does well shines in a World Cup. He's physical. He could body some of these defenders off.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you get to the Gabriel Magalhaes, you might not be able to do that, right?
Sure.
But when you're going up against these guys, these are the ones you want to do that on. There was one moment where he was dribbling up diagonally, cutting into the box. This is like, you saw this happen at Sporting Club de Portugal all the time. Mm-hmm. And the Tunisian player just stuck his foot and took the ball off of him. And I was like, all right, okay, so this is what Arsenal fans were seeing early on and were making us nervous. He still has some of those things where he thinks like, oh, this is like a, you know, Estoril's defender, right? I can just waltz past him and that's not going to be able to happen. So they will be exposed a little bit more. But for right now, Sweden looks like one of those teams that you had hoped Sweden would have been when Zlatan was there. You know what I mean? It always felt like Zlatan and 10 other players at one point. Right. This is a stacked team across the board.
Well, it was stacked is a strong word, but
more stacked than that.
Yeah. But they have some good players. They have a lot of very good attacking options and stuff like that. So I thought it was an entertaining game. It was a nice way to end the night. Just like a nice,
a little digestive.
Just a 5-1 route.
Just a palate cleanser.
Complete this. Right? Just reset us for the following day.
You know, I would disagree with you. All of Tunisia. And the Lamucci family would definitely disagree with you.
So best of luck to all the Lamuccis out there. Tough for Tunisia. But
let's talk about my dark horse, Erling Haaland. He's about to play in his first World Cup.
Is he a horse?
Okay. I think he's going to have a tremendous World Cup, but he's about to play in his first World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
What expectations are you setting on him?
I got to re-look at who's in their group again. I forgot in Norway's group, but running up the numbers.
You're seeing here 50 games, 55 goals,
yeah,
8 assists. That's 1.23 goals per 90 minutes. Can he bring that form to a World Cup?
Yeah, so it's France, Iraq, and Senegal in the group with Norway.
Not an easy group,
but you can imagine. I wonder what the strategy is going to be. Is it going to be let anybody?
Or a lot against Iraq.
No.
That's going to be
for the teams against Norway. Is it going to be anybody beat us besides Haaland? Which
you can't do that because Sorloth is there.
Sure. I mean, but Sorloth is not he's tall. He is a problem, but he's not Erling Haaland.
Sorloth starts on most other nations' teams.
Sure.
He's a very good striker. So if you suddenly collapse on Erling Haaland, you've now got Sorloth to worry about.
Sure. Will that lead to more opportunities for Erling Haaland? Will it lead to less? I don't know. So I wonder how much he's going to be able to like just imprint himself on each game. And obviously against France, it's going to be a different story versus Iraq versus Senegal. But I would imagine that he is going to be quite the problem. And I mean,
I also think we're going to see Dortmund Haaland. You know what I mean? The Haaland that was like, whatever, just kicking into space. I'm faster. I'm bigger than these guys.
Because we haven't seen Erling Haaland in too many international competitions, and Norway did, you know, missed the Euros consistently. Mm-hmm. They missed World Cups consistently. But we saw it in the qualifiers leading up to this tournament, and Erling Haaland was ridiculous. I mean, I think he had a 4-goal game in one of the games or something. He's ridiculous.
You can make the argument that he's been throttled a little bit at City, and I know he's had an incredible season at City, but the guy we saw at Dortmund, if he could just take that sort of style of play to the Premier League, which I know is not as easy because obviously there's a lot more parity defensively.
But
I get that. But if he was able to be as free and as open, we're about to see that. I mean, we're obviously looking, you know, he's had a tremendous two-time PL champion. I saw him win the Champions League as well. Golden Boot winner 3 times. Look, the guy's a monster. Everybody knew it except for Rory Jennings. Everybody knew it when he was coming into the league. But I also think we've seen him throttled a little bit in the sense that he's had to put himself into a system. Trust me when I tell you, Norway's going to be like, hey, Erling, how you want to play? All right, everyone else, get on board.
Okay, I mean, I don't necessarily consider it throttled. I don't think Pep was like sort of muting his ability a little bit. I think it's an adaptation to the Premier League. You have to do anything you can to get points. They were trying to keep up with Arsenal the entire time. Mm-hmm. And again, these teams, whether it's Arsenal, whether it's Wolves, whether it's Brentford, they know how to like handle these teams. And Manchester City, yes, they are very good. But
Wolves qualifies for Champions League in most other leagues.
That's what's kind of like scary, man. Yeah. It's like these, I think in the Premier League, because of these accolades and the golden boots, and then it, was it the first season at Manchester City where he went absolutely nuts, and yeah, the year Messi won the Ballon d'Or, and it made
52 goals that year or something like that. It was like maybe he qualified, yeah, but because it was his club for him. I mean, his name is
exactly because Messi, you know, had the World Cup and stuff like that. But Premier League teams are like, they basically like, okay, let's have somebody else beat us besides Erling Haaland. But in international football, that isn't the case. You're especially playing in this heat. You're tired. You're not playing. You don't have the same chemistry with your international teammates that you do with your club teammates. So it's something that he has a real opportunity to go off, especially in this group stage, because there aren't too many people that can stop him.
No, and that's probably why I have most belief that I think Norway can go very far. I think you're going to have to couple a couple of different things in order for it to happen. And you need to catch lightning in a bottle to win the World Cup, sure, anyway. But for me, I think Erling Haaland in particular, we're looking at their schedule right here. I think he's going to get buckets against Iraq. I think Senegal is a very difficult team to play. I think Norway can handle some of that. In particular, I think they're going to be able to outscore, especially with Odegaard being in form, Sorloth being sitting next to Haaland. Haaland's never had it this good. Haaland is the main focal point at City. Defenders can collapse to him. You don't have that capability when Sorloth is there as well. I know you don't have as much confidence in Sorloth, but then France, an absolutely electric team. They're absolutely incredible. I think they're going to win the whole thing. Norway can cause problems.
Okay,
against that France backline.
My main concern for Norway, all the players you mentioned are Sorloth, Odegaard, Haaland,
attacking, baby.
They're all attacking.
I've never heard of those defenders.
It's a bit of the defending, and even though Norway has, they have physical defenders, they have tall defenders, they have but it's
the Vikings.
But it's just a different gear sometimes when we're already seeing it at this World Cup when it's like the psychological game, the mental game, like the experience goes a long way. How are they going to deal with certain fouls, certain getting under your skin? Like Norway hasn't been here before.
Look at who we're looking at. We're looking at Martin Odegaard. Now look, yes, he won the league, right? And he got to the Champions League final. But there's still something about his form at that towards the end of the season. And the fact that a lot of Arsenal fans are saying, yo, thank you for what you've done, but I think it's Eze's time, or maybe a different 10 comes in. I think there's a little bit of a retribution story.
I agree.
I think a lot of that's going to get cured in this World Cup, or at least that's the hope for Martin Odegaard. So I think there's a lot going in. There's a lot of fuel to this Norway fire.
I look at the number that intrigues me the most there is the number of games, which is 67.
Yeah.
By
the way, 72 games, 49 starts, 27 goals. You think this guy stinks?
I didn't say
he makes Erling Haaland look like me.
Can he do that in the Premier League?
Huh?
Because I know Haaland could do that in La Liga. Can Sorloth
do? He scored 27 goals in 72 games?
Yeah. You think so?
Sorloth is huge.
Really? That's it?
But he's also good.
Big man, score goal.
He's also good. You know what I mean?
I'm not here to knock him, but he's not Erling Haaland. And he's not. And if he was in the Premier League, he could not do that. But producer told me he was at Crystal Palace.
He was, yeah. And but he was also a different player back then. He's blossomed into a different player.
Sure. Look, and we see him get it done in La Liga, but he's also not the lockdown starter for Atletico Madrid.
They have two strikers.
Okay.
So everybody knows how to play in a two-striker system.
Yes, but he's not there every single game. I don't have that much faith in him, but he's gonna do well against certain teams. Credit to them. But they look, Norway has a couple flaws. And this
usually backline.
And the fact that this is their first World Cup, this group is their first time together playing in this World Cup, I think they're gonna get kind of smacked in the mouth a little bit. I'm not saying that they're not gonna shine these individual
Who's
players.
Who's going to do it? Iraq? You think he's going to smack him in the mouth?
I mean, France, Senegal, they're not going to.
First of all, France is going to smack everybody.
I'm just saying.
I think the game against Senegal, I think, will tell you a lot about who exactly Norway is.
Okay. So, I mean, their first game, they're clearly the heavy favorites against Iraq. that this is what you need to do. Get your goal differential up.
Pad them stats.
Do what you got to do. But I wouldn't necessarily be shocked if Norway end up best, like a best third place over here in this.
I think they're in this group. Once they get out of the group stages, I'm fine with however they do that.
Okay. All right. Well, Alexis is just, I mean, you got something riding on Norway, bro.
Prove me right. I have a lot of belief in this Orlov.
No, this is a fun group. And, especially because this is the first time for a lot of these players, it already feels like, well, we're in day, what, five of the World Cup.
Why does it feel like it's been six?
Why does it feel like? So I'm looking at this. I'm like, Norway and, you know, is playing their first game. Their first?
Jesus.
We've had 48 games already.
The U.S. is already in the round of 16 in my head. What the hell's taking you so long?
Things are going crazy.
Looking at the schedule. So Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, we're going to see Norway get a chance to play. And I think we'll see a lot. I don't think it's going to be very reminiscent of, Sweden versus Tunisia. I think Iraq. Iraq is going to have to work really hard to keep up with this team. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Norway gets completely bodied by Iraq. Anything can happen. It's the World Cup.
No, well, this is a sports show. You can't be doing that. You got to be like, no, Norway's winning the whole thing.
No way. Yeah. He's the LeBron James of soccer.
Erling Haaland is a LeBron. Okay, we all know this, okay? But is that the only button that works on the board? Maybe.
Possibly. Well, we're going to effort that after we're not live. Senegal versus, Senegal on June 22nd and France June 26th, I think is going to tell the tale of the tape, for so to speak. But I think if you're Erling Haaland, you're looking at France's backline and saying, I think I got this.
Okay, but it would be
just the back line.
It would be Saliba and Konate, right?
Think about it. When he plays against Arsenal, he's usually getting bodied by Gabriel Magalhaes.
Yeah, he's not there.
And he wants to be near Saliba, and I love Saliba. Saliba is one of my favorite center backs in history. I've loved this. I love this guy since he came from Saint Etienne.
Yeah,
but I also think Erling Haaland understands him. You play against him a lot. So I think it's going to be a little bit more comfortable than people are giving him credit for. I don't know how the rest of Norway is going to react. Anyone behind Odegaard, I didn't say nothing about.
Whole other issue. They got a lot
to
figure out.
That's a different team, bro. That's Southern Norway. We don't talk about that.
They're in, different, like, meditation rooms and different, tactical sessions.
Yoga.
This is, it's Erling Haaland. He's playing his first World Cup. And it's something we sort of take for granted, right? I mean, I think sometimes we watch these players in fantastic club form. You know, speaking of, players that, never played in a World Cup that were fantastic. George Weah is a great example. Tim Weah scored in a World Cup, but George Weah never got to even play in one, right? Yeah. So, and a Ballon d'Or winner. So this is, it's something that...
Oh, he's your dad now.
Wait, is it Roberto?
He's the dad. Okay. You know what, George, buddy, take the garbage out, do the dishes.
Okay, do your homework.
In fact, bring me your report card. I need to see. I want to make sure that my investment is doing well.
So that's on him. It's going to be exciting to see Erling Haaland play there. Is there a video that we're going to, or is that in a second? I don't know. Maybe our producer will let us know. But okay, we're going to go to break.
We got a little bit of video of Erling Haaland, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, so let's take a look.
Honestly, he's just ruthless. You never know when he's going to strike, and I think seeing that in person would just be unreal. There's no shortage of elite strikers in this league, none. But every generation gets one player who makes you rethink what the position even means. We got one of those.
It's another goal!
Erling Haaland, just watch.
Unleashed. Shot unleashed.
Fastest ever to reach 100 goals in the history of this league. And he's 25. But it's not just how many, it's how.
That's Haaland at his best.
4 seasons later, defenders still can't stop it.
He always does. He always will.
60,000 people absolutely losing it. And he just sits down, cross-legged, eyes closed, like he's the only calm thing in the whole world. His first RB, sliding in at the back post like he's been doing it his whole life.
In 4 minutes, Haaland scores again.
Hat trick. He grew up a City fan. His dad, Alfie, played for City. He didn't sign for this club. He came home. 36 goals in a single Premier League season, the record. After he broke it, his teammates gave him the guard of honor in the pitch.
The most prolific season in Premier League history.
In the offseason, he goes back to Norway. The guy who scores like it's routine, and he just goes home and acts like a normal person. On the pitch, off the pitch, completely different species. That's the eye test. Not just what he does, what he is. There's nobody like him. There's never been anyone like him in this league. Erling Haaland, seeing is believing.
All right. This is,
bro, look at this.
This man has been waiting his entire life for this moment. We got a police officer juggling.
The way he ended, he wanted people to jump around and gather around.
Where was this?
This was during I believe this was during the Knicks.
This is in Boston. So Scotland.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. This is Boston. This is a Boston police
officer.
Yeah.
We're seeing the kilts. Yo, this man got some techers, dog.
He's wicked cool, kid.
Wicked smart.
Yeah. I love dudes posting their W's. What a great account. I haven't heard of that account in a minute, man.
So shout out. But we've been talking about the Scotland fans and everything they've been doing.
You got the police bugging out there, bro.
Okay. All right. We need to stop and frisk that skill. Am I right? We need to see where he learned all that.
I got vision zero on how much you're spending kicking a ball.
Fantastic. Man, yeah, this has been Scotland has been already with the Red Sox and everything.
Can I interrupt you real quick? Why are you dressed like the guy who smacked that lady on the train?
That Dominican dude. Shout out. Yo, I'm wearing this official 1994 World Cup leather jacket, like a bomber jacket.
Is it from 94?
It is authentic. It's autographed by the designer. This guy, Jeff Hamilton, shout out to Luis Aguilar. I was moderating the talk for Leander Sherlockin's book. Yeah. Leander was on the show, and Luis Aguilar was there, and he's like a collector of U.S. soccer memorabilia and stuff like that. And he was giving
Lamara level.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff. So he was giving we were giving away some prizes to people that were attending and stuff like that. And this is like from his collection. And so not only did he give me this is an unbelievable jacket. Let me just also turn around and show everybody. You can, Alexis, do the commentary while I.
Spin. This is like being at Restaurants of the World. That is beautiful. Yeah. We can see this.
This is no joke. So Jeff Hamilton is the designer. Again, from 1994. I believe there aren't many of these.
I can imagine that not a lot of them have survived, especially not in this condition. This looks like a remake.
Okay. So. Look, but check this out. This is another thing that I got. This is an official 1994 Cup ticket.
This is for Detroit.
This is in Detroit. And what game is it say there?
This is USA versus Sweden.
Okay.
Switzerland? Switzerland.
And you see an autograph there?
Yeah.
You know who signed that? Clint Dempsey.
Oh my God, Deuce.
So sign that.
Hey, he wasn't at the 94.
He was not at the 94, but he happened to sign that.
Deuce.
So shout out to.
I don't know what game I played in, dog.
Shout out to Luis. This was one of the kindest, nicest thing anyone has ever done for me. I was just like, he had
a. You have to give this jacket back, or that's yours?
I think it's mine, bro. I mean, I'm sure.
Sell it.
No, I'm just saying. I think it's like.
Sell it.
Why am I selling anything? This is a prized possession now. This is an unbelievable gift. And I would treasure
it. You ain't never gonna wear this.
I mean, I'm wearing it right now.
This isn't your vibe, yo. Look like you just got out of doing a 30-year bid in jail, and they handed you back the clothes you came in with.
It is now, dog. This is who I am.
This is who you are now? You're a boom bap battle rapper? Okay. This is who you are?
I was wearing my Abrex jacket yesterday, bro.
Bro, you was that. You got the nice Pele's. Pele. Hey, Pele soccer. Look at this.
Hey. So I'm going to wear it throughout this segment, and maybe I'll sweat a bit because it is 85 degrees in New York today.
Let me tell you something. You're styling though. Let's go. If we could find any flags that are no longer used by those nations?
Okay. We got a couple comments in the chat. Let me know. Let me know how you feel about my jacket.
Yeah, throw some comments in there about this jacket, bro.
Okay. The dude's on fire. Let's go.
You're talking about me. That's crazy. Thank okay. you so much, Muggs.
What else we got? That jacket is fire. Let's see.
Let's go, Chris D. Moore. Loving the jacket.
Thank you, bro.
It is nice. Is it real?
It is real.
Oh, that's that old soft leather. But it's like the inside of a Buick.
Bro, okay, this jacket's been through a couple things. Yo, all right,
that jacket, it came with a pack of cigarettes.
Okay, let's preview a couple matches that are coming up. Let's start with Belgium against Egypt. You know, we saw obviously the last time we saw Belgium play against the United States in that friendly, they were pretty dominant. And Jeremy Doku, I mean, we've been talking about him a whole bunch, but Jeremy Doku was an absolute menace, a real problem.
Yeah, we can't glaze him enough, man. It's
fascinating because we see what he does in the Premier League and teams are a little bit more well prepared for him. But I think on the international stage, it's like you think you know what you're about to come up against, but you do not.
He's very much like a Swiss Army knife where you're like, I've seen it all. And you're like, that's a toothpick? where did that come from? You know? Yeah. I think my only issue is that I feel like they're going to be rather dependent on him throughout the tournament, right? Sure. I'm looking at the rest of this, and it feels like we're in a bit of a transition away from their so-called golden generation that never really won anything, but we're stacked with talent. We're seeing some of the players a little older. You still got your Yuri Tillemans in there. You still got Leandro Trossard, who, again, looks like he hasn't slept since Obama was president. I mean, he's just one of those, you know, whatever.
That's your guy, bro.
Yeah, he's my guy, but they call him the tired raccoon. That's not a great nickname for a player. That says, your hair is gray, dog. Like, what happened in your life, my G? We need to figure it out. But I think, they still got Courtois and they've got Doku. To me, at the end of the day, like, they've got a great attack and they've got a great defending. Great goalkeeping. I just don't think they're going to be at the level that we expected them to be. This still feels like a quarterfinal team, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the last World Cup or even two World Cups ago, that group, De Bruyne.
De Bruyne's old, Lukaku's old.
Yeah, it's just like not. We don't know exactly what to expect. I mean, we saw against the U.S., but then it's also like, do they have the those sort of young dynamic players to balance that kind of just older veteran kind of leadership and stuff like that? Yeah. It's a challenge it's going to be a challenge for Belgium against these other teams. But Egypt, obviously the big name is Mohamed Salah.
I heard of him.
Yeah. He's done at Liverpool. We'll see where he ends up after this World Cup. But a lot of the pressure and responsibility, this is obviously going to be a very highly defensive team. You look at the...
You're going to be lethal on the counter, though.
Do you think Mohamed Salah? No. Not lethal, but what a word.
You think Mohamed Salah, at a World Cup, probably his last where he's got abs.
I think they'll be okay, but no, I don't think. I mean, Mohamed Salah,
Marmoush is back there.
Omar Marmoush, maybe, but they're Egypt are not necessarily a pacey, over-the-top, kind of a...
You've seen what Mohamed Salah has done to the Premier League. You think against some of these defenders that barely make it out of their home nation.
He's been kind of subpar in the Premier League by Mohamed Salah standards.
That's Arne Slot's fault, and I can prove that because what job does he have right now? Okay. He's probably working for ITV. You know what I mean?
Okay. I
think we're going to see a rejuvenated Mohamed Salah. Plus, it's 1 month, and he barely got on the pitch for Liverpool. I mean, he's comfy.
Last few months, he didn't play too much. But credit to you. I don't have that much of high expectation.
I'm a little worried about your lack of confidence in Egypt.
Okay.
Egypt do look good.
All right. Let's move on to Saudi Arabia.
Uruguay.
Against Uruguay.
And Uruguay, remember, lost to the U.S. pretty badly.
They did, yeah.
There's a lot of issues when it comes to Uruguay. So this is their starting 11. I mean, look, they go from the guy who was their manager for like 30 years, or coach for 30 years, very defensive, very counterattacking. It's a country of 3.5 million people. To you bring in Bielsa, you're you know what I mean? You're moving the ball around. Bielsa inspired all the managers you like right now, everywhere from Pochettino to De Zerbi to Pep Guardiola to Mikel Arteta partially, all the managers that want to move the ball around and want to have like, you know, the possession and want to play in the half spaces, that's all from Bielsa. Bielsa also is the guy that got Leeds promoted back into the Premiership. But he's, you know, he's a little bit of a maniac. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Well, you kind of need to be.
Right? I agree with you. I think, right? That's why I'm the way I am. My genius, right? But can you turn this Uruguay team into that? A team that's used to being the toughest defensive team, the guys that will knock it off the line. I don't know. And I think we're about to see against Saudi Arabia, a team that, again, beat Egypt, Argentina in the last World Cup. They have players. They can get after you if you give them the spot. Is the same thing that happened in Uruguay against the U.S. going to happen in the World Cup?
Yeah, I think
hope not.
This is, I mean, it's difficult to predict any, like, have there been any upsets necessarily? I think, you know, I would say Qatar scoring that late equalizer against Switzerland is probably, like, the closest we've kind of had to an upset. But I think that we could have one here. I would not be surprised, you know, similar to in the last World Cup against Argentina. A 1-0 win from Saudi Arabia, but we're looking at their expected 11 as well on screen right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's an opportunity here, especially after seeing you know, when we saw Uruguay against the U.S. If the what was Bielsa's like style of play call, not murder ball, right?
That was his training. They would where as soon as the ball went out of play, another ball would get immediately thrown in.
Right.
And it was full 90 minutes of chasing the ball around before a game.
Right, right. I wonder if it's still resonating with the players. And this is like, again, like these first games of the World Cup are where we get some sort of gauge of like where these teams are. We don't know too much. Just similar. Yeah.
We don't know if Saudi Arabia is going to be at the same level that they were in the last World Cup. Like, it's hard to say. And I agree with you because the guy who was like, where's Messi? I don't know if he's going to be saying where Suarez. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know how confident the Saudi Arabian fans are going to be or how happy they're going to be. But the one thing I know is that the last thing that Uruguay is going to do is allow themselves to be waltzed over. And I know they lost pretty badly to the U.S., but they are the type of team that leaves it all on the pitch. That garra charrua is how they play.
Sure.
So I'm expecting Saudi Arabia to be in for a little bit of a fight.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to Iran versus New Zealand.
Everybody wants to go.
This is going to be maybe not the, you know, two heavyweights that we're necessarily expecting. But I think in the
just all the sickos are going to watch this game.
I think in particular, the kind of the political sort of annotations are going to be what I think are the bigger part of
New Zealand due to Iran. Oh my God.
Because Iran is having a very difficult time, right? They have their team had to their like base camp has been Mexico when it wasn't supposed to be. They're going to be flying in the day of the game and flying back the same night, which is just like, I mean, just
brutal,
wildly unfair advantage. That this is something where you would hope FIFA would step in to kind of not allow something like this. But
you know what? They did give away a peace prize. Maybe we could ask the winner of that.
The peace. Maybe a little peace offering.
Can you bring New Zealand and Iran together again?
Years of strife between the two.
It's just, it's not fair.
I honestly think, you know, because a lot of people in the U.S. are very in opposition to what the administration doing and the war, and they want peace in general. I think Iran is going to have a lot more support than we kind of think.
100%. Yeah. And you know what? Look, at the end of the day, regardless of the shirt they're wearing, those are human beings. Those are players who've worked their whole careers. They've planned their whole lives, dreamt of being in this moment. So hopefully it turns out to be a good tournament, a fun tournament, and they all get to have a good experience.
Which is why they should be respected as athletes that are coming to a World Cup, and they should be treated fairly. So,
as far as New Zealand is concerned, I've seen them play multiple times. I've never once been inspired to do it again. You know what I mean? It's a very defensive team, low block. Hopefully you get him on a counter.
You got Michael Boxall from Minnesota United to bring that defensive.
What am I talking about? Sorry. O-time Lakers. What you should expect.
So, you know, a lot of people are not fans of how Minnesota United played last season, but they got, you know, decently far in the playoffs and stuff like that. So
it is ridiculous to talk to you in this coat, by the way. I want you to.
don't hate. Let
it's not the coat. It's you in the coat. You know what I mean?
Okay, bro. This jacket says I kiss girls.
Oh, man. And it only cost me how much per hour? All right, why don't we talk about the Dutch fans with the Japanese fans? This is why I've always said, yes, a lot of the stuff around the World Cup stinks. Okay. I hate the way that the tickets are priced. I hate all the whether you could get in or not, blah, blah, blah. But for but when it finally happens, to see all these national team fans come together, watching all these fans sort of interact with each other, this is all I care about. Reason 357 to fall in love with, I have a feeling they weren't 357, to fall in love with the World Cup. When this Japan fan found himself in amongst the Netherlands supporters, they just adopted him.
They just, this is, but this is just beautiful to see. And what this game is about, what this sport is about.
This is what a World Cup is supposed to be about.
Exactly. This is like all the drama and stuff around it. Like it's threatening moments like this, right? And and Japan also, you know, they maintain the tradition, the supporters after they were done, after the game was over, 2-2. And they cleaned up their supporters section, which is a tradition that they have done since, I feel like it was like at least two or three World Cups ago.
The Knicks did the same thing. They sent Wemby home. They got rid of the trash.
they cleaned up San Antonio. Okay, but, you know, not as hostile, but yeah, I know what you mean. So, no, but it's great to see. I don't know. We probably don't have the like tweet ready or whatever, but the Jameis Winston from he's doing the Fox broadcast. He joined the Japanese supporters in cleaning up cleaning up the supporter section as well, which is
he's also Googling soccer. Which is, I think, gonna be good for the broadcast.
No, hey, bro.
I think it's gonna be good for the broadcast.
You know who? Who's the other dude? Rob Gronkowski. He's also
you knew what to expect from Gronk.
You know what I mean? Everybody's getting in on this World Cup. We've been here since day one. Okay, update. So we're live right now, but I'm just telling you, we got an update from a game. This is halftime update.
Cape Verde in Spain.
Whoa, nil.
Wait, that's his final? Is this final?
No, it's not final. It's not final. This is just
that halftime. Is halftime. That's our mistake. Okay, I got you. I was like, yo, what happened in Spain?
Cape Verde, you lift the World Cup trophy, dog.
Cape Verde, this is yours, buddy. What are you doing?
Wow.
0-0 is crazy for Spain to not be able to. So Cape Verde, I think, Curaçao has the most players not actually born in the country they're playing for.
Okay.
There's only one player on Cape Verde that was born in Cape Verde.
Yeah, I don't know. We have to confirm that, but yeah.
You go look it up. What am I, Jameis Winston? But I promise you that Cape Verde is, I think, going to surprise a few people, but more of a surprise that Spain hasn't scored against them.
Let me just...
While you're doing that, can I give also a shout out to Lawrence, Kansas? I don't know if you've seen all the stuff with them. They've just... They're staying in like a modest hotel in Lawrence, Kansas. The entire town of Lawrence, Kansas is Algeria now.
I saw
the way they've been treated. I love this so much.
I saw one of the like a college band played them in and the national anthem on the trumpets and everything.
Just like Lawrence, Kansas.
I mean, looking at I'm just looking at the roster for Spain. And I mean, outside of Lamine Yamal didn't start. But outside of that, this is their squad, bro.
Yeah.
This is a strong team. Oyarzabal, Gavi, Ferran Torres.
Oyarzabal's a good player, bro.
Pedri, Fabian Ruiz, Rodri, Llorente, Cucurella, Cubarsí, Laporte. This is a team, bro. Yeah. We'll see. Shout out to Steven Moreira of the Columbus Crew, MLS Cup champion, playing in his first World Cup. But Jamiro Monteiro, remember from Philadelphia Union, San Jose Earthquakes days. There's a couple familiar faces, but yo, if they can eke out this result.
Immediately the most surprising.
First point in the World Cup against a team that is heavy, heavy favorites to win the whole thing. Bro, Cape Verde, shouts to you.
If Spain doesn't score, then the Tunisian manager is going to get fired again.
they have to. And Everton's going to get docked 10 points. You got to.
always.
You're tying my hands. There's nothing I can do.
Would you take Sorloth on Everton?
In a heartbeat. What are you talking about? We got... I put all my faith in Beto.
Thank you for watching the live show. We'll see you guys next tomorrow.
Cheers, everybody.